Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
So look here in Isaiah 53, verse number 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, the answer is it's revealed. The arm of the Lord is the power of God. That power is revealed to those that believe this report he's about to give. Now you realize Isaiah is in the spirit. He's seeing all this. He's prophesying Jesus. The rest of this chapter is about Jesus. But he's seeing all of it hundreds of years before Jesus even came to the earth, you know. So he's seeing it from God's perspective. And that's the way the Holy Ghost taught me about divine healing. He showed me God's perspective on divine healing. And God's perspective is different than man's. Man sees it as something that's going to be. God sees it as something that was already done. Who hath believed our report? The reason he said that is because a lot of people don't believe this report. They believe they're going to be healed. You lay your hand on me and I'll be healed. Well, there's a place to meet God there, but this is a higher report. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up, this is Jesus, grow up before him, God, as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, you know, you see paintings today, and you see a halo around his head, and so forth. But there, you couldn't see any of that when Jesus walked the earth, except on the Mount of Transfiguration, of course. But on the other hand, there was nothing unusual about him, just looking at him in the flesh. And when we see him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now this word sorrows, and we'll look at it in Matthew 8 in a minute, but this word sorrows, as we see it later coming up in verse number 4, notice verse number 4, we'll go ahead and read that. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Carried our sorrows and borne our griefs. That same word, both of those same words are in verse 3. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. Now in the Hebrew, that should have been better translated for sorrows. It should have been translated pains. And for griefs, it should have been translated sicknesses. Sicknesses. Sorrows could have been pains or diseases, and grief sicknesses. Now, that being said, how do you know that? Well, the New Testament actually says that. We'll look at Matthew in a moment, and that's the way Matthew quotes it. Matthew chapter 8. But let's just, with that in mind, notice verse number 4. He bore, I want you to underline a few words. He bore. He bore, underline bore, our griefs, that's our sicknesses, and he carried, yes. Amen. Carried our sorrows or our diseases. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. I want you to underline born, I want you to underline carried, I want you to underline smitten of God. Now, with that in mind, why did God smite him? Let's keep on reading and we'll find out. Somebody said, well, God might do that to me. Impossible. Impossible for God to smite you with sickness and disease. We'll see why in a minute. He bore our sicknesses and carried our sorrows, or our sicknesses and our diseases, and God smit him. He was afflicted. He was afflicted, he was wounded for our transgressions. Notice it wasn't his, he was taking ours. He was wounded for our transgressions, that's our sin. He was bruised for our iniquities. I want you to underline wounded for and bruised for. Or wounded for our, you can underline that, and bruised for our. So he was afflicted, he was wounded, he was bruised, he was acquainted with sicknesses, pains, and diseases. But why was he acquainted with them? Because he bore ours. We don't have any record of Jesus being sick one day of his life. That wasn't why he was acquainted with it. He was acquainted with it because he bore ours on the cross. Verse number 4 says, He bore ours. And then verse 5, He was wounded for our transgressions. He not only bore our sicknesses, but He bore our sins. Transgressions, another word for sin. He was bruised for our iniquities, another word for sin. The chastisement of our peace, now notice this term, was upon Him. Underline that, was upon Him. Notice all this that He had came upon Him. Now it says there that actually God put it on Him. And we'll see it later. It says God put it on Him. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Well, wait a minute now. Whenever those stripes were put on His back, He said we got healed by that. Healed of our sicknesses and our diseases. Now, why were our sicknesses and our diseases healed whenever stripes were put on His back, whenever it was put on Him? In other words, God put it on Him because God was putting ours on Him. You follow that? The stripes that were on His back were actually His body being broken. That whip would break open His body and He would experience pain from that whip.
Right.
And God was, the Bible said now,
yes,
the Bible says, this is the only place the Bible says this. The Bible said God was putting ours on Him.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Keep on reading here. By His stripes we are healed. In other words, it wouldn't be that we were healed by His stripes unless what He took, do you notice that word there? He took, Himself took our infirmities. Notice that. And bore, carried, bore. In other words, whenever He was being striped, whenever He was on the cross, it was ours coming on Him. By Him doing that, how did it say we got healed? By Him taking it for us. So what it was Jesus was becoming a substitute. And He was taking ours so that we wouldn't have to take it. Amen. Now let's keep on reading though, because verse 5, He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. It wouldn't be for ours unless it was a substitute. He was standing in and God was taking ours and putting them on Him. Then verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him. Notice that, underline that, laid on Him, or circle it or highlight it or something. Laid on Him the iniquity of us all. All of our iniquities. He took our sin.
Yes.
Amen. Glory to God. God laid them on Him. He never sinned a day of His life. Remember, the New Testament bears this out. Paul's revelation is what we want to get a hold of this morning. Paul's revelation is, he said over there in 2 Corinthians 5:17, He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made. That's verse 21, the righteousness of God in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Yes, amen.
A new creature, a new creation. I know you thought your wife was a creature, but creation. Creation. That's what that means. That's old English for creation. In other words, He made you brand new. Old things have passed away. What old things? All these things God laid on Jesus. I'll prove it to you in a few minutes. That's exactly what He's talking about when He said old things have passed away. It includes the old sin nature, yes. But it's not just one thing. All old things have passed away. Everything God laid on Jesus has passed away. Meg, I got good news for you. Jesus dealt with the sickness problem. There is no sickness problem for the body of Christ. Well, I sure have been having a problem with it. Well, we'll keep on finding out. What are you going to walk in? You're going to walk in revelation knowledge or you're going to walk in sense knowledge? The Bible said He put it away. Now let's look at verse 6 again. God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. God laid our sin on Jesus. He never sinned, but He was made to be sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Verse 7, He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He was oppressed and afflicted. Underline that. This is all something God took off of you and me and laid it on Jesus. And we'll find out what Jesus did with it over in the New Testament. So oppression and affliction, God laid on Jesus. And you could read the rest of that. Let's go down to verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. So it was because of our sin. He took ours. Verse number 9. He said, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Now, the Hebrew is interesting. You can just get a little side note while we're going through here. The word death in the Hebrew is plural. The Hebrew is the original language the Bible is written in. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his deaths, plural. What do you mean deaths? What does that mean, deaths, plural? Did he die more than once? No. Physically, he died once. But spiritually, he died two deaths. He died physically and he died spiritually. Amen. That's just one proof of it.
Yes.
And you can look it up in the Hebrew, see if it's right. Amen. So he made the grave with the rich in his death because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Now notice verse 10. Here's something I really want you to get a hold of. Yet it pleased the Lord. This is God, Jehovah. The word Lord is Jehovah in the Old Testament. It pleased Jehovah to bruise him. The word bruise means to crush with sickness. It pleased the Lord to crush him with sickness and disease. He, God, hath put him to griefs, or that means sickness.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh my goodness, God made him sick.
Come on.
That's the only place in the Bible said God made anybody sick.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Yet it says God made him sick.
Yes.
Where did he didn't make him sick with his own. He made him sick with ours.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How it must sadden the heart of Jesus to see us bearing what he took. It is not normal for Christians to be sick.
Amen.
We're redeemed.
Amen.
He took it.
Yes.
Now listen to this. The word, notice that we'll get in a few minutes, we'll get to the rest of the chapter. But note up there in verse number 4, notice, surely he hath born. The word born is the Hebrew word NASA, N-A-S-A. Probably no relation to our NASA space station, NASA thing, but it's a Hebrew word, NASA. The word NASA means to lift up and bear away.
Amen.
To lift up and bear away. Amen. And then it says in verse number 4, he carried our sorrows. That word sorrows, again, means diseases. And the word carry is the word sable, S-A-B-A-L. I don't know how to pronounce it, but sable sounds right. It means, both words mean to assume another's burden, and it actually means actual substitution. So whenever he bore our sicknesses and carried our pains, he was actually becoming our substitute. He took it away for us. If we're clearing the chairs out of this room, and this is the last chair in here, and I grab it, come up here, Brother Ike, and I grab it and I say, I'll take this one over here. And then he says, come, he says, no, I'll take it for you.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Well, guess what? I'm not under that anymore. That's what Jesus did for us. He took it. What if I was struggling under the weight of something, you know, heavy? And you came over and you said, I'll take it, and took it off of me. Well, I can stand upright without it.
Yeah.
Don't have it. Not mine.
Amen.
Amen. You carried mine.
Yes.
Amen. Now look at verse 4. He, surely. I think that's important. Surely. Some people wouldn't say surely. They're saying surely he hasn't. But he has. He hath borne. He did it. Not you. He did it. I'm about to get started here this morning. If somebody would help me preach. He hath. When's he going to do this? He's already done it. Well, then why are you carrying it? What's on you can't be yours because he took. Notice. He hath borne our griefs. That one that Satan's trying to put on you or has been successful in putting on you, Jesus took that one.
Yes, he did.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So himself did this. Himself, the New Testament says himself took. He did it himself. Don't you be carrying it. You don't need to carry what he did himself. Hallelujah. He carried our sorrows. Now verse number 10 says, he hath put him to grief or sickness. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. So not only was he an offering for sin, he was an offering for sickness. Because that's what the Greek words or Hebrew words mean. So he became an offering for that. He shall see his seed, he'll prolong his days, the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul, Jesus' soul, and shall be satisfied. It was sufficient in the eyes of God.
Amen.
The demands of justice were satisfied.
Amen.
Whenever God saw him taking it and bearing it, he saw that, God did, and he was satisfied.
Amen.
By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, that's Jesus, justify many, for he shall, there it is again, bear their iniquities. He not only bore iniquities, he bore sicknesses. We already saw that. But I wanted you to see the terminology. He bore it.
Yes.
Look at verse number, let's keep on reading verse 12 and verse 13. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great. The great. Amen. If you look up the word great, it means many. I'll divide him a portion with the great, and he'll divide the spoil with the strong.
Yeah.
The word strong means numerous.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. In other words, what he got, his portion, whenever he raised from the dead, which we're going to see what happened whenever he raised from the dead. Yeah. The Bible said everything he put on himself, he put off.
Yes. Yes.
Everything God put on him when he raised from the dead, he put it off. And he inherited justification, right standing with God, being brought back into oneness with God. He inherited redemption from sin and the penalty of sin. And he also put off sickness whenever he inherited that. He was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. He was made sick that we might be healed. He was made weak that we might be strong. He went to hell so we could go to heaven. He was under the dominion of Satan, so we don't have to be under the dominion of Satan. He died spiritually so we could have everlasting life. Amen. He became poor that we might be rich. All these things were put on him, and whenever he raised from the dead, he put them all off. We're going to see that in a minute. I'm going to go ahead and preach right now about it. He's going to divide, though, what he got, which was putting this off. He's going to divide that with all of us. Because in the mind of God, not only did Jesus raise from the dead, but we were raised up with him. So when he put it off, it was put off of us. Hallelujah. He'll divide the spoil with the numerous, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen. You can underline that. He bare the sin of many. Notice that. And he made intercession. That means to stand in the gap, to assume the burden of another. What burden did he assume? Not only did he assume our sin and become and be made sin, but he assumed our sicknesses and he became sick. Amen.
Amen.
Now you can understand why he actually took this upon his body, but more than that, he took it upon his spirit.
Yes. Amen.
You can understand why it says back there in chapter 52, verse 14, many were astonished. His visage was so marred more than any man. His form was more than the sons of men.
Right.
Amen. In other words, every sickness, think about every sickness and every disease in the world and put that on one person.
My
goodness. But that's what God did.
Amen.
Now, why didn't anybody when he was crucified? Why didn't anybody mention that? Because actually, to be frankly honest with you, it was put on his spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. And then went into his body, but it was really in his spirit.
Right.
Now I don't have time to get into that. We'll get into that maybe some other time. But now come over to the book of Matthew, the 8th chapter. Matthew, the 8th chapter. My purpose today is not try to flail my arms and spit cotton. I just want this word to go right into your heart.
Amen.
Matthew, the 8th chapter. I want you to notice a verse that we're familiar with, and I want you to think about it in the light of what we're saying. Verse number 17. Actually, let's go back to verse 14. When Jesus was come unto Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. How many did he heal?
All
that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, that's Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Well, see, that's proof. Even if you didn't know what the Hebrew said, that's proof right there that when he said griefs and sorrows, he's talking about sicknesses. Isn't that right? Himself took our infirmities. Now, the context is divine healing. Isn't that right? So here, the infirmities and sicknesses means the actual physical sicknesses, because that's what people got. They got healed from sicknesses and diseases. But notice what it says, himself took and bare, took. In other words, he carried it. I want you to get real clear in your mind this morning. I want you to see it on the inside. I want you to see Jesus taking yours. It's called the substitutionary work of Christ. You've heard that term, the substitutionary work of Christ. That means he took it so we don't have to bear it. It means to assume the load or burden of another. Amen. Now go to 1 Peter 2:24. I know you know these verses, but I'm not trying to get it in your head. 1 Peter 2:24 is one you're familiar with. I want you to see the first part of it, though. It says, who his own self bare our sins. Notice that, bear our sins, or we would say bore or carried our sins. 1 Peter 2:24. He carried our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Praise God. By whose stripes you were healed. What does that mean, by whose stripes you were healed? That's talking about whenever he took those stripes, God was putting your sicknesses, your pains, the brokenness of your physical body on Jesus.
Amen.
The soldiers that had the whip in their hand weren't doing that.
That's right.
Amen.
They broke his body with a whip, but God was the one that took your sicknesses and put it on him. And all of that.
Yes.
Amen. The soldiers couldn't do that. The high priest couldn't do that. God did that.
Hallelujah.
So what we're seeing here is the same pattern. You see this word bear, you see this word carried. Amen. Now, with that in mind, go with me to the book of Hebrews. What did Jesus do with our sin whenever our sin was put on him? It says both sin and sickness there. But go to the book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter. What did he do with it? Because when he rose from the dead, he didn't have it anymore. In that he died, the Bible says, in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God.
Amen.
See, he spiritually died because our sin was laid on him. The wages of sin is death. That's just not physical death. Physical death is the result of spiritual death.
Amen.
So he took our sin, became sin for us, and the Bible says the wages of that is death. So he died spiritually. In other words, he was separated from God. That's what the word spiritual death means, separated from God. Now, some Christians have a hard time, believing that. That Jesus went to hell, but he did. My friend, I wouldn't go into somebody else's church and preach that. But see, because not everybody can accept that. But here, I'm the one that's sharing the truths of God's word in the light of the word that I see. No wonder he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, God had to turn. He couldn't look on sin. Isn't that right? And besides that, he made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his deaths, plural.
Amen.
The Bible talks about over and over again, Jesus going to hell. He that ascended is the first also that descended first into the lower parts of the earth. The lower parts of the earth. Where is that? That's hell. And I could give you 15 or 20 scriptures along that line. But here's the point. The point is that here in Hebrews, in the 9th chapter, look at verse number 26, it says, for then, let's back up to verse 25, gets context, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. Jesus didn't have to offer his blood over and over again.
Yes.
like they did in the Old Testament. Amen. For then must he often have suffered, verse 26 says, since the foundation of the world. In other words, he would have had to keep on dying and raising from the dead and dying. Now, once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Yes. Okay, God laid it on him.
Yeah.
But then the Bible says he put it away.
Yes. Yeah.
You really, there's not a sin problem today?
Yeah.
There's not a sin problem today. Jesus dealt with the sin problem.
That's right.
He put sin away.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
There's a sinner problem,
yes,
but not a sin problem.
Yes.
Jesus dealt with that.
Yes.
Now notice here, he says Jesus put it away.
Yes.
I want you to look in the book of Colossians. That's talking about sin there. But look in the book of Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians, the second chapter. King James is very enlightening, but then some other translations are more enlightening on top of King James. Let's start in verse number 14. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That's talking about the law, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, I hadn't seen this truth until recently. The word spoiled has a couple of different, the thing about Greek words is very interesting. I've been learning this over the years. Greek words have, and this is why the Amplified is so helpful, they have richer meaning than some English words. And it takes sometimes a couple of English words to properly interpret a Greek word.
Amen.
And the word spoil is a good word, but it doesn't just mean like spoil, like defeat an army and strip them of their armor like we hear so many times about. But it also means, in fact, some other translations bear this out when it says he spoiled principalities and powers. Some other translations say he rid himself of principalities and powers. That's the 20th century New Testament. He rid himself. Weymouth says he stripped off of himself or from himself. He stripped off the principalities and powers. New English Bible says he discarded principalities and powers.
Amen.
In other words, see, God had laid on him our sin.
Yes, sir.
God had laid on him our sicknesses.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And because of that, Satan got the dominion over him. Because
right.
The wages of sin is death.
Amen.
And part of the meaning of spiritual death is Satan has dominion over you.
That's right.
You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience. We walked according to the course. In other words, under the dominion of the prince of the power there. When we were spiritually dead, we were under the dominion of Satan. You follow that? So how did Satan get dominion over us? It's through us sinning. But see, God took our sin and put it on Jesus. So guess what? Now Satan lords it over him. For three days and three nights, he was in the heart of the earth and Satan was having a heyday. But the day came when God said something from heaven. Hebrews tells us about it. He says, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. When God said that, the glory of God came into hell. The Bible says God raised him from the dead by the glory of the Father. The glory came into hell and quickened Jesus, made him alive. See, now God could justly do that because he was not in there for his own sin. So God could make him righteous again. God could justify him. Somebody said, I can't accept that Jesus was ever not righteous. Well, read your Bible. 1 Timothy 6 says he was justified in spirit. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in spirit. Justified means to make righteous. It could not be that Jesus was ever made righteous whenever he came to earth the first time because he never was unrighteous. So being made righteous means whenever God said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. He was made right. He was now a new creation. The Bible says he's the firstborn among many brethren. That's not talking about born in the manger. You look at the context of all these verses, he's the first begotten from the dead, the Bible says. Revelation says he's the first one born again out of the dead. Well, he was the first one, and we've got a whole bunch more now. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but we have been quickened. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, when the Holy Ghost came into hell and came into Jesus and made him a new creation, he was the first one that got that. But then when Jesus stood up a new creation, he put some things off. He is now new, and these things no longer belong to him. They are the penalty for sin. He is no longer in sin, with our sin, of course, but he's been made the righteousness of God. He's now quickened in spirit. He's now received eternal life. He's passed from death unto life. And now the sickness no longer belongs to him, and everything Satan had no longer belongs to him, so he put it off. I believe he shoved it down the devil's throat.
Amen. Yeah.
And he rose from the dead. Amen. He rose from the dead, and we were raised with him. Not only did he put them off of him, he put them off of us. Because God saw us in Christ. Amen. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. We have been healed in Christ because it was put on him and he put it off. And when he put it off, all of us were healed. Glory to God. Amen. No wonder the Bible says old things have passed away. The reason they passed away is because he put them away. Amen. Disease has no part in the new creation. It has no, in the new man, we're healed. This new man is healed. We have received redemption through the work of Christ. He became our substitute, and healing is now our inheritance. Everything he got, we're joint heirs together with him. When he put it off, it was put off of us. Now, what we've got to do is we've got to learn to see it on him, like doctor was preaching. Where do you see sickness?
Yeah, come on.
Well, right here.
Come on.
No, you need to see it on him.
Yes.
Now, I've been walking this way since, I don't know exact year. I'm guessing because it was when we were married. I'm guessing it was around 1988 or 1989. When the Lord finally got through to me about some things about sickness was right here, or how to receive healing and walk in healing was right here by meditating in Isaiah 53. I'll never forget it. My wife and I had been married for a very short time. She was in choir at the church there, Rhema Bible Church. And I'll never forget, we had an apartment over close to Memorial. Some of you know about that. Doesn't matter to some of you. Doesn't matter to most of you. But it was, 15, 20 minute drive out there. And the church was over in Broken Arrow. And she was in choir practice. She had to be, 5:30 or 6 o'clock, something like that. You had to be at choir practice. And so I forget what we were doing. But we came, I guess we only had one car or something. For some reason, I took her to choir practice. And I was thinking, well, I'll go back to the house and then I'll come back. But I thought, why go back? I mean, it's just going to be 20 minutes that way, 20 minutes back. And I'm not really, I might as well just stay right here, sit here in the parking lot.
Amen.
And so I sat there and I thought, well, and I had the flu. Don't know why I had it. Just I had signed on the line when the devil brought it. You know, whenever your package comes to your house, you have to sign for it. Amen. And then they go away with a receipt.
Yeah.
You see, you're giving the devil the receipt for your sickness and disease too many times. But I was sick. I wasn't claiming healing. I just had the flu and things were, I was carrying a box of hankies. You know what I mean? Throat's tight and my head's hurting. My ears are closed. I mean, all that stuff. So I remember sitting there thinking, well, here's a good opportunity. I got an hour or more. Here's a good opportunity for me to just sit here and meditate. I'm going to take Isaiah 53, and I'm just going to meditate on Isaiah 53. And I got to Isaiah 53, verse number 4, surely he hath borne. And I started saying that, surely, surely. Every single word started coming alive to me.
Amen.
Surely he has already borne. Our, that includes mine. I include mine in there.
Amen.
He bore my sicknesses and carried my pains.
Amen.
And I got to meditating on that. And the more I spoke that over myself, the more I quoted that, the more of a reality it became. I became more aware of the spiritual reality of what I was saying than I became aware of the symptoms in my body. You know, you'll be most conscious of what you say. You know, if you're always saying, if I could only get closer to you, Lord. You're going to be conscious that you're not close. But if you say, the greater one lives in me, and he puts me over, amen, then you'll be more conscious of the greater one. But anyway, I just kept on meditating. I kept on speaking it, kept on saying it. And it became so alive that he bore, and I made it personal, he bore the flu. He bore this flu. He took it. And I kept saying that. I kept meditating on that. And I just became so engrossed in meditating in that, that it became a reality that I, if he took mine, then I am healed. Yes. Pastor, I know all this. Well, why are you carrying some things then? I did this just this past 2 weeks. I had the most severe back pain right up in here that I have ever, I think, than I've ever had in my life. And I couldn't, I didn't, and I was just looking to the natural.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll lay down on it and I'll sleep, you know, and I'll go to the chiropractor and things.
Yeah.
But the problem was the chiropractor popped it and I wanted to punch him. You know, I'm like, you made it worse, you know. I don't know what was going on, but I'm telling you, it was painful. Yeah. Anyway, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, you're not doing it.
Yeah.
So I started doing the same thing. And you know what happened? Just started fading away.
Yeah.
Ain't none there now. Hallelujah. And so this is the way God's taught me about divine healing, to live in the realm of the finished work of Christ. So I meditated on that, and I was meditating. It came so clear to me that he took this back now in 1988 or 89. He took this flu. This was laid on him. I am now going to refuse to take this. If he took it for me, Satan has no right to put it on me, because God took mine. Jesus did. And so I remember getting out of the car. It was about church time. And I remember getting out of the car and walking in. And I'll never forget it, because I was rejoicing in the fact that he took mine. And so I was walking over across the parking lot, and I stepped up onto the sidewalk. There's a long sidewalk covered roof going out from one side to where they used to have the church building, the old auditorium. And I stepped up onto that sidewalk. And as soon as I stepped up on that sidewalk, the Holy Ghost was standing on the sidewalk, I guess. No, he was in me, but he said this. He said this. I heard this coming up out of my spirit. Therefore, and I'm rejoicing because I'm healed. The Lord said, therefore, believe you receive. I heard those words just as real on the inside as I've ever heard God speak to me ever in my life. Therefore, believe you receive. And I'm walking down that sidewalk and I'm thinking, yeah, glory. And I started saying, okay, Lord, I take my healing because you took my sicknesses. I believe that I receive my healing, not tomorrow, not whenever I get to church, now. And it was the most amazing thing. This was the first time this had ever happened to me. The most amazing thing. When I said that, something hit me on the top of my head. And my symptoms just, my nose cleared up. My ears opened up. My throat opened up. It was almost like somebody took a plunger and went, and pulled that all out. Right there on the sidewalk. Hadn't even gotten to church yet. Do you have to wait to get to church? No, you can be healed on the way. Because you already were. He took yours. Amen. And that's how the Lord taught me about divine healing. Hallelujah. Satan can't put sickness on you without your consent. Because you have to agree to it for him to do it. Well, I didn't know I was agreeing to it. Well, it might have been an agreement of ignorance. You weren't aware that Jesus took yours, and many Christians are there. But nevertheless, you can actually say no when Satan brings the package by. Amen. So hold fast to your confession of what happened in the spirit realm. Amen. When your senses are contradicting and show that you have show that you have not been healed, hold fast to the revelation that came to your spirit
Amen.
From the Word of God.
Amen.
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 Whenever you hold fast to your confession when your senses contradict, it shows you've become established in the Word,
Amen.
Which is not sense knowledge, it's revelation knowledge.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We step out of the sense realm when we have lived by faith.
Yes.
When we live by faith.
Amen.
Too many of us are living with Thomas.
Yeah.
Except I see. Except I feel.
Right.
I won't believe I'm healed.
Right. Come on. Yeah. Come on.
Remember that's what Thomas said?
Yes.
Too many of us are living shacked up with Thomas.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
He can't receive anything unless he sees it. But you can't, it's not Thomas's blessing that is yours, it's Abraham's blessing. So don't try to get Abraham's blessing with Thomas's faith. Get Abraham's blessing with Abraham's faith. We don't see, but we believe, the Bible says. Blessed is that man that has not seen and yet believed. Amen. Our minds have not received all this knowledge from the sense realm, but our minds need to be renewed with the Word of God. It all comes back to the integrity of God's Word. Is this true or what you feel? Is this true? This is true. Amen. Because there's been no spiritual development through revelation knowledge, people are baby Christians and they're still governed by sense knowledge and sickness. Paul said, I couldn't speak unto you. Now, I'm not necessarily saying this to you, but it could apply to somebody in here. I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal.
Right, right.
Because they were spiritual babies and could not receive revelation knowledge.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Revelation knowledge is not apparent to sense knowledge right away. But we want to be developed spiritually and begin to receive revelation knowledge. Stop signing when Satan brings the package. Because he walks away when you sign, he walks away with the receipt. See, I got the right to do this. Because they accepted it. But you see, whenever God brings the word to you, like he's doing this morning through me, when he brings the word to you, that's your receipt. See, the receipt is indication something's been bought and paid for. But the thing about God is, he bought and paid for it, but he gave it to you.
Amen.
He paid for it, your healing, and then he gave you your healing by taking away your sicknesses. And then he said, here's the receipt for it. If the devil ever comes and says, I want to put sickness back on you, say, no, healing's been bought for me. Amen. You have to stand for your rights and your privileges. Because not because God's hard to receive from, but because Satan will try your faith. Satan will come and he will see if you're going to accept something that doesn't belong to you. Amen. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Amen. It's proof of our healing. The word of God, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, is our receipt. We got it. We got it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is based on what you can't see, but it's based on the Word of God. So take your receipt and say, here's my title deed. Here's my right to my healing. My friend, Satan cannot stand against the Word of God. Hold him up to it. When he keeps coming back, hold him up to it. Hallelujah. When you accept the Word, which is God's statement of fact on the matter. When you accept that, your spirit has gained the ascendancy over sense knowledge. And when you accept the Word, you're not making it true. You're not making it your ownership by accepting the Word. What made it true was what Jesus already did and what God said. It's true whether you accept the Word or not. But if you don't accept the Word, then actually Satan will, with sense knowledge, he will keep you in bondage to sickness and disease. Amen. Now, James 5, 14 through 16, I want you to turn over there, is an interesting passage of Scripture. James 5, 14, and we're going to read this because you're familiar with it, but I want you to see the context here. The highest way to receive healing is just know what has been bought and paid for, know what Jesus did for you, and say, that's mine, I take that now.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
That is for those who will receive revelation knowledge.
Amen.
James 5, 14 and 15, and 16 actually also, is not for that kind of Christian. Now, that doesn't mean, see, God has different places to meet us to where we can receive our healing.
Amen.
James 5, 14 through 16 is a place where a person who is more of a carnal Christian receives their healing.
Right, right.
Now, don't get offended at me. Just look at what I'm saying.
Amen.
I'm not saying it's you. I don't know if it's you.
Amen.
I'm saying, look at James 5 here. Verse 14 says, is any sick among you? That right there ought to tell you something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? Is any sick? That should tell us that it's not normal that there are sick among us. Because he asked a question. You wouldn't ask a question if it's normal for everybody to be sick.
Amen.
The problem with the church is that they are no better off than the world. Because they're not walking in what I preach to you here. They're waiting to get healed. When Jesus said they already are. He already took it. Amen. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, or that word means heal. Heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If they've committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Yes.
Now this is God's method of healing baby Christians.
Amen.
Why do I say that? Because notice he can't see the fact that his sicknesses were laid on Jesus at all. We have no indication that this man can see that.
Right.
We only have indication that he can believe that if the elders pray, and he can see them pray, he can hear them pray, he can feel the anointing oil,
right.
He can feel their hand on his head.
Right.
He's living in the sense realm.
Yeah.
He's waiting for somebody else to come and pray a prayer of faith that tells us he has no revelation that he's already healed.
Right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
He's depending on somebody else to pray and receive. Now, he's also doing it concerning his sins. He's not walking in the Pauline revelation of who we are in Christ and what we already have. He's waiting for somebody to come and he'll confess sin. He doesn't recognize that God already took his sin away. And all he has to do is just say, Father, I've sinned. 1 John 1, 9.
Yes.
I confess it to you.
Yes.
But he's waiting for somebody to come and say it.
Right.
See, he's looking in the seen realm for something. He doesn't receive until somebody else is there helping him receive.
Right.
Are you there?
Yes.
He's not taking advantage of his privileges, or he would have already acted on 1 John 1, 9.
Right.
He would have already acted on Isaiah 53, 4 and 5.
Right.
But he's living in the realm of senses and must see and feel before he believes. He has the Thomas kind of faith.
Amen.
And God will meet certain people at that level.
Right.
But you have to recognize that there is a place where God will keep moving you forward till that won't work anymore.
Yeah. Amen.
Because God's not going to let somebody else do your praying for you.
Amen.
I get amazed sometimes at whenever that happens, how little I can do anymore.
Come on.
The spiritual man will see that he is healed and that Jesus took his sicknesses and put it away.
Yes, sir.
And he'll simply say, that's it. I got it. Jesus healed me. I'm healed now.
Amen.
Therefore, I need not be sick, and he need not bear what he recognizes. I need not bear what Jesus already bore for me. He recognized that his sickness was put on Jesus and Jesus put it away. He carried them away. So what Satan is putting on him is not his. Jesus bore his.
Amen.
The enemy has no right to put sickness on him.
That's right.
And he knows that. He has no need of prayer. What Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 is not prayer.
Amen.
Prayer is right. I didn't say it's wrong to pray for the sick. That's what James 5 is. It's prayer. But see, a man who knows what Jesus already did and that he's already healed because Jesus took it and bore his away doesn't need to pray about that. He doesn't need to ask for healing. God already did it. He already bore it. And he says, okay, I claim what belongs to me. And he speaks a command to Satan, get this off of me. That's not prayer. That's using the authority. And it's claiming your rights in Christ. It's like an inheritance that is given through somebody who goes on before you. You have to go down there and claim it. You don't have to pray, oh, please, can I have it? No, you walk in bold. You walk in knowing that's mine. Isn't that right? No begging, no praying, no asking, nothing. Just simply claiming what is yours. You take advantage of your rights in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You have no need of prayer. Sense knowledge prays for things that it already possesses.
That's right.
Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Sense knowledge. Sense knowledge asks God for things that he said you already possess.
Yes. Amen.
That you already own. That is already yours.
Yes. Amen.
Okay, that didn't hit you.
Come on.
That I can tell I need to dig that stump out.
Yeah.
Can't plant seed where there's a stump.
Come on.
Sense knowledge,
yes,
asks God for something that he said is already yours.
Right.
Sense knowledge asks God to give you the victory.
Yes.
Sense knowledge asks God to defeat the devil.
That's right.
Sense knowledge asks God to heal.
Yeah.
Heal me now.
Yeah, right.
He already did that.
He already did.
By his stripes, we're going to be healed?
No,
he bore our sicknesses, and by his stripes, we were healed. I'm just as healed now before sense knowledge tells me so than I am whenever sense knowledge tells me I'm not. Or tells me I am.
Right, right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Folks, this is the message God sent me to Cedar Rapids to preach. This has been rejected by every full gospel church that's ever been here. I said, this is what God brought me here for. To preach who we are in Christ already. Amen. Many leaders of past moves of God in Cedar Rapids reject this faith message. We've had them healed in our services. Come and sit in our services, healed in our services.
Yeah.
We don't talk about it because,
right,
you know, not at the time because don't want to embarrass anybody.
Right.
Heart condition so bad.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Come on.
Sitting there and healed by the power of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I warned him in the back room.
Yeah.
Where are you going to church?
Come on.
Well, I spread around. You know, I said, wait a minute. This is life and death for you.
That's right. Come on.
You need to recognize where you got what you need. And I said, besides that, you know better.
Yes.
You know the truth.
Yes.
I'm not against anybody else. We can help other places. But the point is, for you, this is life and death. It's dangerous to come up to light and not walk in it.
Yes.
Within 3 weeks, he's back where he was with his heart condition.
Yeah.
Hello?
Amen.
I could tell you more stories.
Amen.
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 The Lord had, I had a spiritual experience with God, and he showed me the leaders that have been involved in leading the church here. None of them have been people of faith. They've been operating in the gifts of the Spirit, but none of them have walked by faith and preached what I'm preaching today.
Amen.
It's all gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
Well, why don't it work like that now? Because you have to mix the Word and the Spirit together.
Amen.
Because further light has come. It's very similar to what Catherine Kuhlman said. She said, I don't like this new message of faith. It tells people that they're responsible for receiving from God.
Absolutely.
She was operating totally in gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
And she died of a sickness and a disease.
Amen.
I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to say, hey, let's walk in the light of this and then let the Holy Ghost confirm it. Amen. You still there? You still love me? So to pray for something that's already yours is really sense knowledge praying.
Amen.
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 The spiritual man is not confused about it. He sees not through a glass darkly. Sense knowledge clouds the minds of many. But the glass darkly is cleared up whenever revelation comes and you see clearly that I'm already healed. Now, not everybody's there, but you need to recognize that it's to your advantage to get there, because the day will come God will expect you to walk in this. The day will come you won't be able to receive a thing in my prayer line anymore. Because you're looking to me to pray the prayer of faith. I'm a nice guy. I'd heal anybody that came to me. But see, God expects more out of us as the light comes. Now, if you're not there, rejoice in it. Just be glad. Let us help. We'll help as much as we can.
Amen.
It's a confession of his ignorance of his inheritance to pray for something that is already his. It's a confession of his ignorance of redemption, and Satan takes advantage of that ignorance. He takes advantage of it and puts and holds people in bondage. The defeated one holds his master in bondage. Satan is defeated, and by ignorance, he holds his master, you, in bondage. Through ignorance of who you are in Christ and what you've done. James 5 is not Paul's revelation. Paul's revelation is who we are already in Christ. People that want to pray for things that Jesus already gave them are on a lower level. And that's fine for starting out. But the point is, you're going to have to keep on walking with God. James 5 is not for spiritual believers, full grown, but those who have not developed their spirit life so that they can take their place in Christ. It's for those who must depend on others to pray for them, those who don't know what healing, that healing is theirs now. No matter what his privileges are, his hand of faith cannot reach Godward without the aid of another. His hand of faith is paralyzed by sin consciousness and sense knowledge. He can't receive from God by himself, just on the word. You understand the way I'm preaching this? If you're not there, don't kick yourself. But just realize God's going to have to, you see, you're going to have to keep on moving forward with God. As I grew spiritually, now you have to be careful of this. You get into pride and God will say, okay, you want to be healed, go down there and have them lay hands on you.
Yeah.
I grew spiritually to the point that God never led me anymore to have somebody lay hands on me for healing.
Right. Amen.
Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I said, if I got arrogant about that, then I would have to.
Right.
You understand? You have to watch getting to that place. You have to watch you get in trouble with God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The spiritual man has no problem with the integrity of God's word. The Lord took my sicknesses and he bore them. He has knowledge that the word has enough integrity that that'll come to pass when he stands on it. He has no problem with the present tense realities of God's word. It makes no difference what the testimony of his senses tell him. He casts down sense knowledge reasonings.
Amen.
He holds Satan in the arena of faith. He doesn't let Satan hold him in bondage in the arena of sense knowledge. Amen. Believing it doesn't make it true or give you ownership of it. It's seeing clearly that you have already received that really makes it something that you experience, but it doesn't make it true.
Amen.
Man heals through the physical realm. Or cultish mind sciences try to do it through the metaphysical realm. But see, the Spirit of God heals and God heals through the spirit of man.
Yes.
That's the only part of man that can accept revelation knowledge.
Yes.
What I'm preaching is not reality to sense knowledge. It's only a reality in the spirit.
Yes.
But when Jesus came on the scene, he said things like this over and over. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Go thy way as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. Didn't he say that?
Right.
So God, by showing us Jesus doing it that way, shows us that healing begins in a man's spiritual life.
Right.
It begins in what he believes.
Right.
What a man believes is something that he does in his spirit. It proves that all the people Jesus healed were healed through their spirits, through them believing something.
That's right.
Amen. Faith is born out of the spirit of man.
Yeah.
It wasn't done through some physical thing. It wasn't done through mental things. It was done through him believing something.
Yes.
That is healing through the spirit of man.
Yes.
And this is the way you can live completely healed.
Yes.
The Bible tells us that the best God has is divine health.
Yes.
How does that come? It's through Proverbs 4, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. You have to be a person of the word.
That's right.
Amen.
You can get healed from time to time with gifts of the spirit, but you won't have divine health.
Come on, divine health.
Because the gifts of the Spirit come as He wills.
Right.
I'm not talking about gifts of the Spirit. I'm talking about living by faith.
Yes.
Just taking God. See, you don't need to wait on a gift of the Spirit to claim Isaiah 53:4.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
When we as believers recognize the integrity of God's Word, our days of sickness are over.
That's right.
Amen. We'll not waver. We'll not have a two-mouth confession.
Amen.
Thank God Jesus healed me. But I still have this pain. That's a two-mouth confession. That's wavering. James said that. Don't waver. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen. Well, at one moment, we confess the absolute truthfulness of God's word, but at the same time, we make a confession that we're not healed. At one moment, we say, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Another moment, we say, I can't pay my bills. We have nullified our confession based on redemption by our confession based on sense knowledge.
Amen.
You see what I'm talking about? And so he said, let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Am I preaching all right?
Yes, sir.
I believe I'm healed, but the pain is still there. What does that have anything to do with it? You're healed anyway. I believe, I'm going to go to the doctor and they're going to show that I'm healed. What does that have anything to do with it?
Amen.
Who has believed our report? You don't need the doctor's report. Yes, it'll eventually line up with this report if you'll hold the devil in the arena of this report. But you don't have to wait and see it on a test to believe that I got it. That's not what your foundation is. Your foundation is not, well, okay, the doctor said it's gone. Dr. Jesus said that 2,000 years ago. Glad you finally found out, doctor. I've been knowing that for a long time. Now, he might not understand everything, so it might not be best to tell him all that you know. So if it's going to hinder your faith, trying to get in an argument with him, I just shut up and say, thank you, doctor. And pay him, of course. Amen. I'm to hold fast the confession of my faith based on the integrity of God's word. God's word is apparent, it is true, and it will not be contradicted by the confession of my lips. Amen. God, if I hold fast to it, is bound to make it good in my life. Every time you confess sickness, you nullify the work of Christ in your life. And you magnify the adversary and you give him the supremacy. How did Jesus get the supremacy over your life? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. When you said, be Lord, he became Lord. How do you give Satan place in your life? You confess his supremacy, and he moves in and takes that place. Amen. So we've got to stand fast and hold fast to the confession of our faith. You getting anything out of this morning? We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. What is your testimony? My testimony is, by his stripes I am healed. Amen. Now, this is why some who can be prayed for by another are healed and perfectly well for several days, but later all the symptoms come back on them.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they received healing through the faith of another.
That's right. That's good.
And the adversary took advantage of their lack of faith and put the symptoms back on them.
Yeah, right.
When he came, he camouflaged it. And they were filled with fear and doubt, and they yielded instead of resisting with the word. They said, I thought I was healed. I guess I'm not. Rather than resist it, they are experiencing a counterattack, which the Bible says will come. When this is the way the devil operates, whether it's a spirit leaving or whether it's sickness leaving. Not all sickness is a personal presence of a spirit, but this is the way the devil operates. When an unclean spirit is going out of a man, he goes to the dry places seeking refuge, finds none. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back where I was. Mm-hmm. Satan will always try to come back.
Yes.
More people lose their healing on a counterattack than they do on the initial receiving.
Amen.
You understand what I'm talking about? And they yield instead of resist because they had no foundation of the word in their own lives. They were healed on the faith of another. And they lost their healing on a counterattack.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Amen. The thing for you to do is get to know the Lord personally for yourself through the word.
Yes.
What did you do for me, Jesus? You put it off.
Amen.
You took it away.
Amen.
Now, don't just do it because you heard it today and it's logged in your memory. This has to become a reality. This is, you see it as already done. Amen. Get to know the Lord for yourself. When you know that you're already healed, like you know 2 + 2 = 4, then the enemy will have no power over you to make you sick again. You'll simply laugh when the devil comes. Did you know you're already whipped, devil? That's what you'll do whenever you know that you're already healed.
Amen.
And you tell him, get out of here.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
No one can maintain healing which he's received through the result of another's faith unless he develops through the word so that he can maintain his own rights of redemption through what Christ did for him.
Amen.
It's faith that receives.
Yes.
And if it's another's faith, then you're on your own whenever you go your way.
Amen.
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 Leave the lowlands of doubt and fear and come to the highlands and walk in fellowship with God on his level. Come up where he is. This is where he is. He's seeing you healed. Don't expect to have good fellowship with heaven talking words inspired by the devil. What about you coming home and what if you came home and you kept telling your wife what that sweet lady down at the office kept saying to you? Yeah. That wouldn't go over it. Don't expect good fellowship with your wife. Well, don't expect good fellowship with heaven when you keep talking about what the devil keeps saying.
Yeah, yeah,
You know, I think God gets tired of hearing what the devil keeps saying.
Yes.
People keep telling him, the devil said this. Well, he didn't want to hear that. What did I say?
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's go over to John 3. Let's finish this up. John 3 is an interesting passage. We're almost there. John 3 tells us in verse number 31, he that comes from above is above all. Now, this is the context here is Jesus, but all you got to do is read your Bible. And the Bible says in Philippians, we're from above as well.
That's right.
We're born. Our citizenship is in heaven. You ever read that? That's where our names are written. That's where we're on the citizenship list.
Amen.
We have citizenship in the United States, but our spiritual citizenship is heaven. So not only is Jesus from above, we're from above.
Amen.
So he that comes from above is above all.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That means I have the supremacy over these natural things. And he that is of the earth is earthly. The Lord said it to me this way one time. He said he's earthbound. Sense knowledge bound, in other words. He's earthly and speaks of the earth. Boy, that's the truth. They speak from a natural perspective. A sense knowledge perspective. Well, the doctor said, so I'm not healed, Pastor. Well, somebody's lying about this. Either God or the doctor. Amen. Now, the doctor's not lying for telling you the facts. He's just saying that what he sees, and you're talking higher than that.
Amen.
We need to constantly go back to faith. Constantly go back to faith. So he said, he that is from above is above all, and what he hath, he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. Did you see that? Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about speaking the language of heaven. He's talking about speaking something other than what you see and feel in this earthly realm. He's talking about sense knowledge words that come from the earthly standpoint will hold you in bondage to the resources of this natural realm. Amen. Those words never register in the spirit above the natural realm. You want to tap into something beyond the natural realm. Isn't that right? Your confession will bring your experiences to a higher realm. Your experiences in life will never register above the level of your confession. If you're speaking on the natural plane, everything you see, everything you feel, everything sense knowledge tells you, what he's saying is you'll never rise above the limitations of this sense knowledge world. There is another realm, and there is another kind of knowledge.
Amen.
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 Tune into the Spirit.
Yes.
Speak a different language.
Yes.
Faith is the language of heaven.
Yes.
Sense knowledge is the language of fallen man.
Yes.
Man fell to that place.
Yes.
Remember the first time he sinned? He knew he was naked.
Yes.
Now he's conscious of his body. He wasn't conscious of that before.
Right.
Now redemption brings us back to where we don't have to live bound by what we can see and feel.
Amen.
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 Ah.
Glory, I'm redeemed.
Amen.
So tune into the language of heaven. The reason people are speaking wrong is because they're hearing wrong. They're hearing everything in this natural realm, but you need to tune your speaker or tune your receiver into another realm. When you hear differently, you'll talk differently. Make the sound of the Spirit. That's the sound of faith. The sound of the Spirit is going to have a sound of possession. Ownership. He that believeth hath.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
He that believeth, people that are believing are not going to get it. I believe one of these days. No, that's not faith. That's the Thomas kind of faith. Whenever I see it, I'll say I've got it.
Amen. Come on.
I'm driving this home.
Yes, you are.
Because somebody's getting over this hump today.
Amen.
Whenever I believe it, whenever I see it, I'll believe it. That's the Thomas kind of faith. The Bible says, blessed are they that have not seen yet believe. Believe what? He that believeth that he has received what Jesus has already done. I believe, therefore I have. Believers have. They have a sound of possession in their voice. I mean ownership. They sound like it's already done. You know, people are looking for a bailout. I've already got my bailout. I'm not making the sound of, I hope they can bail me out. I'm making the sound of, Jesus bailed me out. He took my poverty. He bailed me out. That's a different sound than you hear in the world. Out there in the world, they're talking all kinds of sounds of defeat and job loss and the economy's down and our investments are down. I'm losing this. I'm losing that. I'm not. He already made me rich.
Amen.
And the devil can't steal it. He would have to take Isaiah 53 and all these verses away from me to get mine. Theirs is based on something that's sense knowledge. Mine's based on the foundation of thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of the Word this morning? This is the core of redemption. This is the core of the Word of God. We preach so many things around it sometimes, but this morning I just had it in my heart. I'm just going to hit it right on the mark. There it is. Wham! Hit it right there.
Amen.
This is where we need to live. Live in the realm of revelation knowledge. I have been healed.
Amen.
Yeah, but Pastor, the doctors can't do anything. Well, we always thank God for doctors. I'm not against doctors.
Right.
But if they can't do anything, my lip's not poked out.
Amen.
I'm not down today because the doctors tried and they can't.
Come on.
I'm already healed.
That's right. Already.
When the dust clears, you'll admit it's so. You know what I mean? That's the way you got to explain it to some people sometime. When the dust clears, you'll admit it's so. Because, see, they're looking at what they see. But I have received it before I can even see it. And I believe it before I even see it. Glory to God. What a way to live. This is what God's invited us to live. Live on His plane. Live on. You see, faith is experiencing things before everybody else knows you have it. Amen. Sense knowledge is waiting until it gets it. Faith already has it.
Amen.
Faith is not waiting to see. Faith accepts what it already says. Were healed. If I were, I am. I remember Brother Hagin telling a story about a lady. And I actually saw the lady. But she was in a wheelchair. This happened a couple of times. There's one story. I guess I'm actually getting two stories mixed up. Let me tell you about a lady that we heard about. That I didn't see this lady. She was in a wheelchair, and she was going to healing meetings for a long time, trying to get healed. And Brother Hagin just pulled her up there one day and showed her 1 Peter 2:24.
Amen.
You know, there's more in 1 Peter 2:24 than many of us have even seen yet.
Amen.
And showed her that she was already healed.
Yeah.
She looked up, and he said, is that past tense or present tense? Or, you know, she said, well, that's past tense.
Yeah.
Well, he said, then you already were healed.
Praise God.
Amen.
She looked like, oh, I am, aren't I?
Amen.
For a moment, he had her in revelation knowledge rather than, well, then why am I, you know?
Right.
And so that's exactly what happened to Paul in Acts 14. He perceived this man had faith to be healed. He can see it on people's faces whenever they got it.
Amen.
And what did Paul do? He said, stand up right on the feet. In other words, he said, act. In that light that you have right there, act on it right now. And the man acted on it and was completely healed. And Brother Hagin said, this woman said, well, I am healed. Brother Hagin said, well, then, if you already were, then you are. Well, I sure am. He said, let's lift up both of our hands and just thank God that you're already healed. She lifted up both hands, thank God she was healed, got up, walked out of her wheelchair. And then she was back at the book table. He tells this story. She was back at the book table later and she was mad. I think it was the next day she was mad. They said, well, somebody offended you? Is something wrong? No, she said, I could have been out of that wheelchair 2 years ago. She said, the devil lied to me. I'm trying to get it. And I already got it. Jesus got it for me. Amen. She just had to believe right.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.